Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Hello, Aston Villa fans, and welcome to For the Love of Pomegranate podcast. I'm just trying to, screw it. I'll turn it off. I was just waiting to see if there was any post-match stuff going on there. I was going to see if I could take a look at it with the subtitles on while we were on air. But Aston Villa 2, Chelsea 2. Aston Villa with 2-0 lead, as I predicted, but I didn't predict that Chelsea would come back and draw 2-2. Aston Villa didn't come out in the second half. A very, very, very flat and poor performance from Aston Villa in the second half. Not helped, I think, by, changes that needed to happen just prior to halftime and during halftime as well. Not to say that Robin Olsen was poor, because he made that brilliant save with his feet towards the end of the game after Diego Carlos, for whatever reason, just played a ball directly to Cole Palmer when he could have headed the ball back to his goalkeeper. We did some really, really stupid things in that second half. We did some really silly things in that second half. And we got out, like some people would say, we got away with it because of that VAR decision at the end. For me, there's no grey area there. A push in the back is a push in the back. If that happens in the middle of the field, it's a free kick. If that happens in the penalty area, it's a free kick. You know, if it happens the opposite way, when you're talking about penalties, I don't know, we can have a different conversation. But for it didn't. And the way that it happened for me was it was before the ball, even was contestable, for if that makes sense. And I'm sure Chelsea fans will have a different view on it, and I'm sure Villa fans will have a different view on it as well. But my view on it is, like, even in real time, it looked like it was a barge right into the back. And VAR asked Craig Pawson come over, and he rules out that goal, and Villa live to fight another day and take a point away from Villa Park. When, for all intents and purposes, it looked like we had let it run down our leg in the second half and lost the game. I'm going to start off and talk about the first half first, because chronological order, I think, is quite important when we're discussing this game. And I thought Villa started really well. But John McGinn looked like he was shot out of a cannon. Douglas Luiz was playing really well. And our back line looked like that they were, we looked like we were there to, I know this sounds silly, but to play a game of football. And we threatened an awful lot in the first maybe 15, 20 minutes. And we get our goal through deflection. Brilliant work by Luca Dean to get down that left-hand side, crosses it in, and an absolutely hopeless finish from John McGinn comes off Kukurea and goes into the back of the net. I'm not even sure if Kukurea isn't there, that goes out for a throw, to be honest with you. But that's not slagging John McGinn, because I thought he was pretty good tonight. I just think the ball just came across him. Initially, I thought it hit off Ollie Watkins and went in. or that Watkins took out his foot and hit it and went in, and that was our 20th goal for Ollie Watkins. But that wasn't to be. It came off Cucurella, and Villa go 1-0 up. There was a rule out goal then shortly afterwards from Nicholas Jackson, a really, really good finish. In real time, I thought that was offside as well. I was more disappointed, I suppose. In real time, I thought it was offside. A lot of people online were giving out about Cash being late coming up in the line. I think he could see where he was, and that Nicholas Jackson was offside. But I was more disappointed that Matty Cash was less physical, I suppose, on the edge of the area. But then again, you know, you foul somebody on the edge of the area, there it carries on into the area, and you give away a penalty. I suppose we'd be having a completely different conversation here. But needless to say that, Jackson's finish was ruled off for that offside. It was offside, and VAR got that one right. And then Villa kind of conceded possession then for about another 5 minutes, I think, after that, from memory, and they kind of got back into it again. And Morgan Rogers was causing an awful lot of threat down that side. Ollie Watkins had a couple of shots, a couple of stingers that goalkeeper saved. And Morgan Rogers gets his just desserts for a really good first-half performance. We'll talk about the second half in a minute, and I'd probably be in the minority about his second-half performance because I certainly didn't like it. But in the first half, that finish was absolutely outstanding, right in by the post, cool as you like. And Villa go in 2-0 up. But I think the biggest piece of lingering kind of info in Villa's minds was Youri Tielemans went off with what looks like a bit of a groin pull just before halftime, or at what, 25 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it was. Moussa Diaby comes on, extremely ineffectual when he came on. Moussa Diaby wasn't anywhere in defence, and certainly wasn't anywhere in attack either. Just wasn't the Moussa Diaby that we saw against Bournemouth. On first viewing, I'm open to correction if I was wrong on that one. But the big one was Emi Martinez goes off at halftime with tightness in his hamstring. Now, it looks like it was precautionary, and Robin Olsen is playing on Thursday, so it looks like they didn't want to risk it, and they brought Robin Olsen on.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And look, when Robin Olsen comes on, we can see goals. And look, none of those goals today were down to Robin Olsen. Paddy has said it in the podcast a couple of times, and I'm going to reiterate some of his words. I have no reason not to believe this, as I say, but sometimes I feel sorry for Olsen. Sometimes I just feel sorry for the backline as well, because maybe the communication isn't the same. Maybe they don't feel as confident with him behind. But you know, he comes on and we can see goals. It's habitual. You know, it's habitual that we can see goals when Robin Olsen comes on. And while none of the goals were particularly his fault, maybe he could have saved the Madueke goal. I want to see it again. I initially thought, and I didn't see any replays of it, so I must admit, I only saw the goal itself. Initially thought maybe he could have got his hand down to it if he was a bit more nimble, but that's probably splitting hairs with regards to that one. But Nuno Madueke comes out in that second half and he's absolutely shot out of a cannon. He was brilliant, and he was just so good down that right hand side, and he tied Dina in knots. And I'm getting back to what I said about Morgan Rogers, who I thought was a class. It was really, really good in the first half. In the second half, he was found positionally stray, is what I would call. Didn't give Luca Dean half enough cover in there. Just felt like he didn't know where to be. you know, if in doubt in a situation like that and somebody's carving up your left back, you go and you stick yourself to him. My thoughts on this would be is you go, you stick yourself to him for 5 minutes and just quell and stem the bleeding. Stem the bleeding. Madueke was going down, was going at Dina, at Dina, at Dina. Every single time they were trying to find him. Bournemouth tried that same tactic at the weekend and it didn't work. Dina came out of it, came out of it an awful lot better. But in this match, he didn't come out of it. And it wasn't Dina's fault. Like, there's only so much that you can have a guy running at you with acres of space. Only so much of that. And I felt that, you know, there was a small bit of naivety there. And as I say, don't get me wrong, Morgan Rogers had an outstanding first half and he carried the ball in the second half when he got a chance. Sometimes he carried it into trouble. Sometimes he dallied on it around the edge of his own area. He got clattered by Chalobah after a free was given, which, like, he showed great bravery to go in for that ball, but he got clattered for it. So I'm not down on Morgan Rogers. This is not an anti-Morgan Rogers piece. What it more is a game management piece, I think, that the team needs to get more savvy about. The whole team needs to get more savvy about, because Douglas Luiz was on a yellow card. Douglas Luiz was still plowing into tackles and he was trying to stifle things in the middle of midfield. He's just back off a red card, you know. You get two, or he's just back after the 10, whatever you call them, I think it is, 10 yellow cards. He gets a red card. If he gets a red card there, you know, we're all scratching our head going, what the hell are you doing? There's a small bit of game management piece there that we were very naive on tonight. Now, whether that needs to come in from the sideline or that needs to come from the guy with the armband in the middle, or it needs to come from Emi Martinez, who has now at this stage gone off the field, or it needs to come from Ezri Konsa. Maybe an Emi Martinez at some stage comes and gathers across like Robin Olsen does in the second half and hits the ground and stays down and gets up and throws himself back down again and gets up and starts trying to stretch out his back and throws himself back down and gets a yellow card but stems the flow of it for 3 or 4 minutes. Maybe that's what happens. Once again, I'm splitting hairs here because we don't know what happens. It's not more Robin Olsen's fault. He got back up and started giving out to the guy who, I think it was Chalobah again as well, who came and hit him late and hit him in the air when he was coming for the ball. It's not his fault for doing that. And I don't, it's not an anti-Olsen thing there. But the game management piece, I think, tonight was really, really lacking. Just like game management was lacking against Brentford when we let them on their 9 minute salvo to score 3 goals. And I think it was 9 minutes against Brentford. Game management was lacking there. And game management was lacking against Manchester United when Garnacho comes back into it in the second half and goes 90 to the gallon, scores and drags his team back into it against Manchester United in January or February of this year. And game management has been missing at times coming up to the end of half time and after the half starts. This isn't anything new. We've been speaking about this. Game management, the team is a small bit naive from that point. But tonight, they were shown to be really naive with regards to what Madueke was getting away with for the first 20 minutes of that second half. And he got his goal. And he took his goal really well. But my God, did he have enough chances to get into positions where he could score from. So I found that really, really annoying. I found that really, really frustrating that we didn't have somebody that could, I suppose. And I'm not saying that you have to go out and you have to foul him. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that you can literally go up there and you can Vinnie Jones, Paul Gascoigne him, and you can just literally stick to him like that and just make sure if he moves, you're blocking off his runs, whatever, frustrate him, get him angry, make sure the linesman starts flagging and stuff like that. And the referee comes over and has a word with you and goes, lads, stop it, rule it, you know, you can do that stuff. We didn't. We got nice. We got, I don't know, we kind of we got very nice and we got very withdrawn and we wanted to protect just that area of the box, which isn't a negative. That's not a negative. But what does our midfield do? What does our midfield do after that? And our midfield was really lacking in that first 25 minutes, if not a half an hour of that second half. Really, really lacking. We bring on young Tim, gets stuck into it, gives away a couple of fouls, goes after Caicedo at times in that game. But then the ball comes to Conor Gallagher. And Conor Gallagher, of course, only does things really, really well against Aston Villa this season. He's done, like, he's been our nemesis against this team all season. Cole Palmer, pretty much out of the game, I thought. Not really an entity as such. Bar the miss, or the save, should I say, that Robin Olsen had. Not really an entity. He had a free kick in the second half, flashes a good 5-6 yards wide. Didn't really do a whole pile, but Conor Gallagher, again, for the third time in 4 meetings this season, kind of ran midfield alongside Caicedo, and that's worrying. Not worrying, but that's worrying from this game. We couldn't get a hold of Conor Gallagher, and then he sticks up, and then with his left foot, pings one in the top corner. Absolute worldly of a finish. But he's 15 yards away from anybody when he turns and he puts that in the back of the net. Came from the left-hand side again. The reason I'm saying this is, yes, young Tim, I think it was young Tim was the closest guy to him. Should he get to him? What happens in the preceding 30 to 45 seconds before that? Where is our left side? Where is our two central midfielders? As I say, young Tim coming into the game, being shown a small bit of fate by Unai Emery. Yes, he needs help. He needs help there. We need that left midfielder coming in. And I'm not shitting on Morgan Rodgers. I really am not. I'm just saying it's game management. And we didn't have it tonight. And it stings because we were 2-0 up. But here comes my mindset as always. And I can see there's over 300 comments here. I don't know, am I going to get to any of the comments, I'm going to be honest. Because I presume they're going to be all over the map, and that's absolutely fine. As I've always said, I never tell anybody how to feel after a result, whether it be a win, lose, or draw. But what I'm saying here again is that 3 points tonight, obviously, no one's saying the 3 points tonight wouldn't have been great. It would have been absolutely brilliant. It would have been literally one hand on that fourth place. And we would have been skipping into Brighton, skipping to Olympiacos, skipping into Brighton next week. Now we're worried. Now we're looking at tomorrow's game where we're going, we need Arsenal to pull it back. We need other teams to do us favours. And when other teams have had to do us favours this year, bar Fulham against Manchester United, which has become kind of irrelevant now, how Man United have fallen off. When other teams have had to do us favours this year, they haven't really, to my mind or to my memory, I'm sure I'll be proven wrong. People will probably clip this up and probably say, here, all the teams have done us favours. But we need teams to do us favours now in a way. Tomorrow, against the North London Derby is absolutely huge. And it shouldn't be as big as it is because Villa had a 2-0 lead and we should have won this game. And Unai Emery is going to be saying the same thing inside the dressing room today. He's going to say, we now have to rely on Arsenal. We now have to rely on Arsenal. We have to rely on Chelsea, who we've just beaten. We have to rely on Liverpool, who are having a dodgy spot of it at the moment. And we have to rely on Manchester City to beat Spurs, because Spurs are going to beat Burnley. Spurs are going to beat Sheffield United. I know Burnley are having a bit of a resurgence at the moment and they're trying to fight their way out of relegation zone. For my money, it isn't going to happen. And they're going to beat both of those teams. And we need to better the results against the four teams that I mentioned there, City, Arsenal, Liverpool, and Chelsea. Now, we've just drawn against Chelsea today. A win against Chelsea today really puts Spurs behind the eight ball. That's no news to anybody. A draw against them gives Spurs massive hope, because Spurs will feel that they can. I think it's away in Stamford Bridge as well. I'm open to correction on that one, but Spurs will feel they can go to Stamford Bridge and get a draw at least against Chelsea. Yeah, it is. I can see it there. A draw at least against Chelsea on the 24th of the 2nd of May. They'll go, yeah, we can go to Stamford Bridge and at least get a draw. With all the injuries Chelsea have, Villa should have been beating Chelsea today. They just should have. But they didn't. But we got a draw. Now Spurs have a chance to better that result against that team. And that has me frustrated. Has me annoyed. So, where do we go from here, I suppose? Well, we go to Athens without Emi Martinez and without Youri Tielemans. And we go to Brighton at the weekend. I would imagine Martinez would be back. I think it was just precautionary. I really do. His kicking leg. Maybe it was a bit of hubris from Unai Emery. Maybe Emery brings him off at halftime. Maybe that's a bit early to bring him off. I don't know. We'll find out more about it. We'll find out more about the severity of it. Like, if he's out for the Brighton game, the bookies will be changing odds, I think, based on that. But again, there's always an optimist in me. There is always an optimist in me. You guys know that. Like, if you come to this channel and you expect me to be all doom and gloom, I try and be pragmatic. I try and be rational. I try and be, and that's not to say that anybody else shouldn't. I just, that's the way I find it easier to go to bed at night when I do it that way. I talk these things out to try and make myself understand what the game was. I don't need to go into my house at half past 10 tonight feeling like I want to fucking punch a hole through the wall. I've been there in my life. It just doesn't make me any happier the next morning when I come up feeling like that. So I try and rationalize it out myself. I don't write any of this stuff down. You guys know I've probably made lots of inaccuracies, lots of factual inaccuracies. I've probably spoken about things in the game that were wrong. People closing down were wrong, stuff like that. But for me, this is my kind of cathartic kind of method, is to talk through it. And I hope it works for some of you guys as well. And I hope for some of you guys as well, if you need to let off a bit of steam tonight, that's absolutely cool too. But for me, the optimist in me says, it's still a point. It's still a point. And that while I feel shit at the moment about the fact that we didn't win this game, and I'm sure the 400 odd comments that are in there are, I'm sure the majority of them are, you know, the same. Disconsolate, whatever words you want to use, pissed off, frustrated, you know, wondering, is it going to be our, is that the one that slips it up for us? Is that our moment? Is that our slip? You know, but we won't know. We won't know for a couple of weeks yet. I said that it was going to be a big 15 days. I still mean that. I think Brighton is going to be a huge game. I think tomorrow is going to be a huge game. And Chelsea versus Spurs is going to be a huge game. I genuinely think that. And then we've got Liverpool and we've got Crystal Palace to come. 3 points today would have been so, so good. It would have really set us up. And I feel really, really pissed off that we didn't get it. But at the same time, I would be way worse if that goal at the end was given, which I've said before, like a push is a push. I don't think there's any gray area within, when you shoulder someone into the back, it's a foul. For me, other fans won't agree with it. That's fine. Doesn't mean anyone should dislike me. Doesn't mean I dislike anybody for it. But my opinion on that in real time, it was a foul. And Villa, the commentator said Villa got away with it. The papers tomorrow will probably say, call us Aston Varla or something like that. But nobody forced, I can't remember who it was, nobody forced, was it Badishie, to barge into Diego Carlos's back before the ball came. No one forced him to do it. And he did it, and it was there, and it was enough for it to be overruled. And I thought it was enough for it to be overruled, and everybody else can have their own opinion on it then again after that. So, as I say, where do we go from here? We go to Athens on Thursday night. The bodies are tired. You could see it out there. We host Olympiacos, should I say. We don't go to Athens. We host Olympiacos. That's what I meant to say. The bodies are tired. There'll be a lot of rest and recuperation done at Bodymore. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of training, obviously, because these guys they look leggy in the second half there. They've played a ton of games. You know, we've been saying it for a while. It's still not an excuse to lose a 2-0 lead. I think game management comes into it in that aspect. But you know, Olympiacos takes on a whole new meaning for the players during the week, and then the game against. Jesus, my mind isn't working. It's 10:30. The game against Brighton, then away at Brighton 3 days later. I think that is cup final territory for me. Well, I know it's not. Mathematically, it's not. But, you know, you win that game against Brighton, you're absolutely coming. You're coming back up the road and you're singing songs and you're feeling really good about yourself. And, yeah, it's going to be a big seven or eight days now between now and the end of next week for Aston Villa season. And I hope you guys come back and join us. I'm going to take a quick look through the comments. I purposely haven't opened them, and I hope anybody isn't, Jesus, there's 600 comments in there. Yikes. Anne O'Grady says, did you know what? I come in just when Anne O'Grady says, Limnock Abu tomorrow. That's definitely cheered me up, yeah, because if anybody knows what that means, it's Limerick are playing Tipperary in the hurling tomorrow, and I definitely am looking forward to that as well. I'm just going to take a quick, a lot of you guys mentioned in there that you feel it was a foul. We did. Matt Greenwood says we did get bullied. Absolutely did. 100% in the second half, we were overrun. 100%. Rachel says it was a foul as well. We've had goals taken off us for similar against Sheffield United. Absolutely. Yeah, people mentioned Luiz, but Luiz losing the ball as well. I thought he did. I thought he looked the yard off the pace today. Paul, where else are we? Yeah, midfield was too deep at times, Ali. I agree with you on that one. Midfield was too deep, I think. But then again, I think that was a byproduct of the fact that they were literally hammering our left side. So the game management for me is to maybe even bring Ali back and put him in as a left winger and just literally go 11 behind the ball to stem the bleeding for a while, because it was 15 to 20 minutes of assault. It was assault on that left-hand side. And they just hammered away at it until they broke us down. And both those goals came from there. That's not this. I don't think Luke Dean had a bad game. I think it was an area whereby they just said, right, what we can do is we can get this disjointed and we can get areas here where we can have pot shots. And they had their shots, and both their shots went into the back of the net. They were the better team, but they knew what they were doing. They upped the intensity hugely in the second half, and Villa didn't meet the mark. They didn't meet the mark. I think
it's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Where else are we? Sorry there. I was just singing my own team tune there. How arrogant is that? How arrogant is that? A fella singing his own team tune and fucking on his own podcast. Jesus Christ, I should have ended it there 5 minutes ago before I let myself down with that one. Kat Cannon makes a good point here as well. No hold up from Ali either. You're right. And I rewound back in the second half. I actually rewound the game back. And this is why I didn't see Madueke's replay. I rewound back a couple of points in the second half. And I must say, for a man older than me, I think he is, Thiago Silva, he is just a genius at moving the centre forward around the place. An absolute genius. Watkins was lamb to the slaughter how deep our midfield came to her. He really was. But Thiago Silva had him right outside, you know, and he was working him really hard there. He's getting his body all over him. You know, he's you know, for somebody who's that old, you know, he's not afraid to get physical and to get in and out there. So I agree with you. Claudy with a chance of UFOs says Paddy's probably fuming like most of us. I can't imagine that Paddy isn't annoyed. Somebody was asking earlier on about referees, about Paddy's opinion on referees. I wasn't chatting to him at all, but I think everybody should be in their own way pissed off the fact that we lost 2 points there, because we're getting down to the business end of the season. We don't need to lose 2 points there. We shouldn't be losing 2 points there. If we're serious about this, we shouldn't be losing 2 points there. And it is 2 points lost. No matter how much I said there at the end that yes, we've gotten a point and that could be the point that gets us into fourth place, it's still 2 points lost, and Unai Emery will hammer that home. And if we get fourth place, Unai Emery, I can guarantee you, will go back to this game, he'll go back to Man United, and he'll go back to Brentford, and he'll say, guys, we won't be anywhere near top four next year if we lose those two goal leads and if we don't know how to manage games. And it'll be more about managing games, I think, is what he will... And he's tried to do that. He's tried to do that with possession-based football and us keeping possession and our resting defence and all that kind of stuff. But when we don't have possession, and we didn't have possession, and we couldn't influence the game to try and dictate, to put our stamp on the game and to try and dictate and manage the game from that point of view, how do we manage it out of possession? That's a whole new learning curve. And it's difficult. It's really tough. It's really tough to do. You know, it's international football. In international football, they put a whole lot of emphasis on that stuff. That's why mediocre teams can beat better teams. You know, you just soak up that pressure. And in a way, I think over the next couple of weeks, Villa will almost be playing, well, maybe not against Brighton, but I think against Olympiacos, we will go out and try and put our stamp on it early on. Against Brighton, we will go away from home. We'll try and soak up pressure. And I think I'm confident that we'll go there with renewed vigour. But like against Liverpool, we're going to need to soak up a ton of pressure. And we're going to need to defend in our low block. And we're going to need to play international football, essentially. Try and eke out a nil-all draw. You know, we haven't been able to keep clean sheets. Been really frustrating. I'm confident in us scoring goals. I'm not confident in us being able to ratchet up the fifth gear, bring it back to third gear, and then ratchet it up to fifth gear again. And I don't think any team should be confident in their team being able to do that unless you're, you know, 1970s Brazil, or unless you're Pep Guardiola's Barcelona, who were able to do it at will, or maybe even Man City of last season, you know. And we're certainly not there, you know, and nor would anybody here with any sane mind think that we were there or that we should be there. But that's where we need to get to, you know, to have sustained success. Anyway, I could rant and I could rave here and I could talk about pejoratives and everything like this for the next 25 minutes, but it's 25 minutes to 11 here, Irish time. Yeah, sour one to take tonight. I completely and utterly empathize with everybody else who's sour tonight, but the players don't have much time to be sour and dejected tonight. They have a flea in their ear, I'd imagine, coming out of that dressing room. But big games on the horizon. And Villa are here to play big games. And we're here to support Villa and big games. So, big, big week ahead. And I hope you guys will join us for previews, team sheet tantrums, and post-match podcasts over the course of the next week. Probably the defining week of Aston Villa's season. So, I hope to see you guys there. Yeah, not the game, not the result we wanted, not the performance we wanted in the second half, but a point is a point. But we've lost 2 points today. Anyway, in the meantime, everybody, I wish you all the absolute best for your Saturday. Stay safe, stay healthy, and all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Podcast Network.